Welcome to Minority Corner
with Aneke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues,
only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike. This week on Minority Corner, James will be joined by, oh my god, I'm so excited, Bay Area legend Stephen LeMay. He's currently in the drag version of Sex and the City. Can you believe he's also been on Project Runway, which is just coming back on Bravo. Swooning over here, I had no idea. Anyway, so Steve LeMay is going to be on the show talking about the evolution of drag, ageism in the gay community, and also in the performance community. And also he's going to give his thoughts on the current drag queens in the population of mainstream RuPaul's Drag Race. And he's going to be telling James about his journey into finding himself as a female illusionist. What else is going on? James is going to be taking you to court with five cases across the country that are dismantling marriage equality. What the fuck? And can you believe that some could get even pushed up to the Supreme Court? What is happening? We're taking so many steps backwards. Also, politics, the election, and just, you know, some giggles, some laughs. They'll be having a good time. And just to remind you, you guys, Maximum Fun Drive. Let's do this final push. It is Friday. If you haven't become a Maximum Fun member, now is time to do that. So excited for you guys to listen. So happy to be back to talk to you guys for a brief moment. Holy moly. Dispatches from motherhood.
Welcome to Minority Corner. Why the giggle box over here?
Because you're all one, two, three, go. And I'm like, wait, am I supposed to say something? You're like, are you saying go, me go?
No.
I know. You were just saying go in general.
Editor Woody, who's fabulous, specifically asked for us to leave a bit of a pause before we go into it. And now here we are.
I literally thought that was my first question.
when that pause happened, I was like, I hope LeMay doesn't think that he needs to start talking right now.
Am I on?
That's how the sausage is made, folks. Welcome to the corner. We, just so the audience knows, the episode's already going to be called In Bed with Stephen LeMay.
Yes.
We are literally
in my bed.
In your bed.
With my pink afghan. Totally.
This is great. Stephen LeMay, you've been in the industry for so long.
Right.
You're an actor.
Yes.
You're a female impersonator.
Illusionist. A female illusionist.
We've done many shows with each other.
We have.
We've done the Shit and Champagne series.
Absolutely.
The Corner Kids know all about it. We've talked about it before.
Nice.
The longtime listeners know about it.
Okay.
You and I are filming
a
feature based on the play that we did.
Yes, correct.
And it's transitioning.
Yes, exactly.
Into film.
Yeah. Wouldn't you just know it?
But a little backstory about you. I've been wanting to get you on the show for a long time. We were roommates for a minute.
We were roommates.
When I was... You're kidding.
Stephen LeMay's home for wayward children.
When I came back to do, because it was Shit and Champagne turned into a trilogy.
Yeah.
And I came back.
Shit and Champagne, and then Champagne White in the Temple of Poon, and then Champagne White is disastrous.
Yes. And when I flew back to do the third one, because I was living in New York at the time.
Yeah.
And I came and Stephen opened up his home to me.
Yep.
And we were roommates. Mm-hmm. It was great. I had a great time.
Totes.
And now
I loved
bed.
It. Enjoyed it immensely.
We had a great time. And you were there. We were there thick and thin. We did a show together.
Yep.
It was just a great time.
Yeah, I agree.
So a little backstory about you, though. So you've been in the industry for a long time.
Well, in a way.
In a way. You've done things like Project Runway.
I guess technically, I mean, I forget that I'm the age that I am. Seriously, because I still, I come from a family that has a very young at heart spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I do forget that I'm the age I am. I think I'm like 28 or 22.
You act like it.
I know, totally. People are always like, how old are you? I'm like 12. I'm like, that's what I act like. I act like a 12-year-old girl, yeah, right? 12-year-old girls are probably a hell of a lot more mature than I am, right? Yeah. I'm like a 12-year-old boy. I fart and burp, right? Definitely. But wear dresses.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. I love it.
Yeah. A 12-year-old cross-dressing prince.
Yes, you are. You're all the things. I feel like you were ahead of your time.
Oh, yeah. I was totally ahead of my time before the internet even existed, darling. I was big, big, big. No, I've been performing, I guess, when it... I moved out here into San Francisco in 91. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I was probably performing by 94, 95. So that is 24 years.
Yeah,
you know, I know, and some of these kids aren't even 24 and they're on fucking RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah,
killing me.
And I, you know, talking about, so RuPaul's Drag Race, you bring a really good interesting point, because we've had conversations about this and you've been doing female illusionary work.
Thank you. cross-dressing
female illusionary work. But isn't it interesting to see like the evolution of like drag and queer performance, of like now it's like it's a household
right.
thing.
Right.
And like, how do you think like drag is sort of like, we'll get this into your corner, sure, but I already just want to jump into it.
Yeah,
but like, how has drag changed, or like the mainstreamness of it? And how do you feel about that?
I guess, I mean, there's a couple of ways to look at it, right? I mean, first and foremost, I guess it is a positive, right? That now, like, high school kids or whatever, you know, and whoever, and parents and straight people are watching RuPaul's Drag Race and watching these queens, like, do this, you know, and that is absolutely amazing, mm-hmm, right? If it's broadening, you know, perceptions and horizons of people to make allies everywhere we need to go, then that is amazing,
yeah,
right? And I'm all for that. I mean, we live in a much more technically advanced society than we did when I was a performer. I mean, you literally performed because you liked it, right? Yeah. And you enjoyed it and you loved it and you wanted to entertain. There were no camera phones. There was no YouTube. Mm-hmm. I almost said XTube. There wasn't
that either, you know?
There wasn't all that instant. You weren't doing something to immediately post on the internet to become mm-hmm. something. You just did it because you did it. I mean, mm-hmm. there's years of performance that I've done, that it just exists in the ethers. Right. Like, there's no proof of it, yeah, but like you didn't do it for any other reason other than because it was in you, right? And you felt the need to perform. And so not that that's, I'm not saying at all that that is not what's happening now, because there are performers who really live and love it, you know, to death. And that is a lovely thing.
But they do ask kids today, they're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the number one answer is they want to be famous.
Right. Of course. Right. Which,
when I was a kid, that was not the thing. People were like, a doctor, a
right.
lawyer.
Exactly. Happy. That's all. I swear to God, that is so, and that is so tragic, because of course,
child, like, whoever says that is
me.
That was
I say that all the time.
Oh, Steven, that's so beautiful.
People, yeah. But why am I miserable? No. So I remember specifically, like, other than wanting to be an architect and going to school for architecture, I remember, like, you know, people be like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And people are like, millionaire, whatever. And I was like, I just want to be happy.
Wow.
And the great thing is like, there are times when the freedom of my life is completely happy, right? But there's also great, like, sadness and despair. We all have that. I wish I had said happy and rich. Hey, I should have been more specific.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm like, oh, happy. Happy is poor.
As long as I'm happy.
Right.
So you've seen the evolution.
Yes. And so, like, this, it's also this thing, too, where, like, and it also strangely ties into San Francisco in a way where on RuPaul's Drag Race, there's only been one queen from San Francisco, Honey Mahogany, you know? Yeah. And so there's people speculate, why aren't there not more queens from
San Francisco
represented?
You would think, like, right. I feel like San Francisco is like gay Mecca.
Right. And I find that there are so many reasons, like, and maybe it sort of has something to do with, like, well, sort of, if you look back at sort of the Coquettes, who were, you know, San Francisco troupe, that they were very alternative and very, hippie, fairy, queer, right? It was very much more about like a gender expression than a drag expression, right? Yeah. So
like we have a lot of glitter beards right. here in San Francisco.
So San Francisco has a great queer, like sort of, you know, avant-garde take, alternative, yeah. Not that other cities don't have, but like that we specifically have here. And so I feel great about that. Like, so I never felt like my drag was drag, right? Mm-hmm. My drag was always like a gender expression, yeah. You know? And so what you see now though is with, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race, like there is this sort of, this aesthetic, right? Like the same makeup look, the same hair, the same outrageous costumes. Like that is like these
bright colors.
Right. And they're going into the show, spending thousands of dollars on costumes and, you know, and having this, that the sort of that makeup look. But like that was never my thing. And I find that not necessarily a thing that happened in San Francisco because it was just more about gender expression. So maybe you had your like your natural eyebrows and a little glitter, a little lip gloss and you were great. Like mm-hmm. you didn't need to like paint on your clown face to be like, you know, with your little horn, Harpo Marx, you know.
It's so interesting, too, because I, you know, Rue really prides herself on being outside of the mainstream. And it's not like I don't even think it's her. Like, it's not like she was looking to ever be a part of the mainstream.
Right,
and her
correct.
Show just kind of fell into it.
Correct.
And it's so interesting because, but what that show is, it seems like it's outside of it's mainstream drag and there's a whole entire
correct.
Other
absolutely.
World of drag that
right.
people aren't
right.
really seeing and
right.
understanding. Even too, like we're at the point where it's like people are like I wish like my favorite parts of the show are when they're when they're performing.
Right.
And like I feel like that's I wish there was more of that in the show because that's what I see a lot of drag queens are actually doing, not these like challenges of like
well,
you know.
Great. And I agree. So I right, because I although I am a great designer, if I had to sew my own dress, I'd be like, yeah, no,
I can't
do it. I'll look pretty, but I'll wear a placemat. Like, okay, it'll be like, you know, and so I don't understand how much that's the concept of like having to be the next big drag superstar because any fucking superstar does not make their own clothes.
Right.
Okay. So enough of that. And a lot of them go on the shows with custom made pieces that they did not make. Right. So sometimes there is like a sewing challenge. Me, like, I was really well known that I'm a really great lip syncer.
You're amazing.
Like, you know, like
I'm working on a project right now, a pilot.
Right.
Through Lionsgate, choreographer. I'm just name dropping all these
right.
great things.
Mm-hmm. Good thing I don't know what any of them are. I know what Lionsgate is.
The Lionsgate, yeah.
Hi, Lionsgate.
Hi, she's available.
Wink.
it's great. I love that you had to say the wink.
Cause right, because you can't see me.
You can't see
me in my negligee.
This is
flannel. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. My mom gave me this for Christmas one year.
New England Patriot sweater.
Yeah.
Oh,
she loves.
Of you.
Oh my God, she loves what's his name? Oh my God, the one married to Giselle. I know the model, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Right,
yeah.
She's
I was like
him.
Eric Bana.
Oh my God, no. Okay, let's not talk about football on this podcast.
Oh God,
unless it's someone I slept with. No, anyway,
which there could be a list.
Right.
It's the choreographer. She's the choreographer of La La Land.
Right.
How much of this I should be talking about, but
nothing, non-disclosure
probably
agreement.
Not. I know. Oh, you're totally right.
I didn't
whatever.
Kind of, okay.
You did it.
Anyway, I'm a really great lip syncer.
We needed a lip syncer professional
right.
on set and I was trying to get you booked.
Yes, I love
Canada,
lip syncing.
You're so good.
I think it's also, a couple of things. So first of all, segue back or whatever. Like I find that the whole lip sync portion of that show is also a little troubling now too, because all the antics.
Too many death drops.
Well, right. And so for someone who may be like an amazing performer and lip sync artist, like I don't feel that I need to go into some calisthenic routine just to be able to win that challenge,
sure.
right? That's troublesome to me, you know? But also, I became a really good lip syncer because basically when I started performing, like everyone I met was a singer. And so I never took any acting classes, never seen classes. I came to performing late in life. And so I know that if I had to take lessons, I would be an okay singer, right? I get it. You know, I can sing great in the shower, you know, when I'm alone.
Get the record exactly
totally.
Now.
It's not often I'm in the shower alone. No. And so for me, the whole notion of like the act of performing and lip syncing is that like, they need to feel like you're singing that song, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's the art of selling it, right? Yeah. You're acting it. Like, that's why I hate terrible lip syncers. Like, ah, you don't even look like you're singing it. It's like, why bother? Like, why even bother moving your lips, yeah. you know? And so, and I used to like using, like, I did a lots of jazz, you know, and like, the great thing about my roommate who was the opera singer is exposed me to like R&B and soul and sure. jazz, like yeah. everything that like I used in my repertoire.
Yeah.
Right. And that like, and oftentimes I would use a microphone stand as a prop because that saw those songs lends itself to, and like, and people would actually think I was singing.
I know that you weren't singing because you were outside of your store with no microphone.
Right.
But I saw the video and it looks so good. What's right. the song? It's like the alphabet song.
Well, there's Old MacDonald Had a Old Farm yes. by Ella Fitzgerald, which is something I'm known for. Yeah, oh, it's a we great have song.
To. And so is it on YouTube? Can we link this?
Of course
this?
It is. Of
oh,
course
we've got, we're yeah. going to put it in the link. It's
well, if that's
so...
the case, you should also link to.
Yeah.
So there's a really famous...
you won Project Runway?
Well, no, not that yet.
Okay.
There's a famous performer named Lipsinka, right?
Oh, right.
Was famous New York City performer, legendary. She's been around, you know, I don't want to say forever, but like, you know, a little bit longer than me, you know? And so her shows were this amazing, like, cabaret act of like a montage of lip synced movie clips and, you know, and songs. And like, and it, she was called Lipsinka and the show was amazing. Just so she had a Lipsinka performer like lookalike contest. Mm-hmm. And that was at Josie's Cabaret when it existed in San Francisco. And I entered and I won.
Yes.
And so
did.
That's really the video you should watch on YouTube.
Well, we can link a few.
Right. Okay, great.
Link a few.
Shoo! But yes. And so, wait, so what were you talking about?
I don't know. Anyway, so you were on Project Runway. That's
oh my God,
not
we're
what
jumping
talking
right
about,
to there.
We're going there.
Okay, well, here, well, this is, oh, what's great.
Or do you want to talk about Michael Avenatti?
Wait, we can segue. Okay, it doesn't matter, but we can segue really easily into Project Runway because, so this is, of course, this is, well, it segues eventually into my corner about being an older performer.
Yes.
Right? And so coming to terms with being an older performer, you know, an older gay performer, an older effeminate gay performer, and like where you fit, like how do you reconcile like having to be responsible and have a job because you have bills and responsibility versus the love of performing, and like when do you just say enough and I have to be more realistic about my life,
sure.
right? And but so season 5 of Project Runway,
yes,
episode 5,
okay,
was called Good Queen Fun.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the drag episode. And that was sort of the one that everyone was waiting for because they're like, you know, it's like, oh,
this
great.
This is before
RuPaul's Drag Race, yeah. because RuPaul was a guest judge on that episode.
He probably had ideas.
No, he was a guest judge because he was promoting the first season of RuPaul's Drag Race.
I see.
And so the inside scoop is that by season 5, so at the end of season 4, Bravo had already lost Project Runway to Lifetime.
Mm.
And so they were committed through season 5, but they did less promotion for season 5.
Yeah.
Because they were like, why? We're losing the show. Why are we going to promote, right? And so basically our show was supposed to be like the one that they were going to do all this advertising for, but then they sort of were like,
yeah.
they didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
You know, and so then... And so then RuPaul was the guest judge and he was promoting. And so then basically the next year after when RuPaul's Drag Race came out, that was the big hit and no one gave a shit about fucking 11 drag queens who modeled on Project Runway.
Right. They're know? Like, we've got a show right. where this is all the time.
Right. But let me just say, I'm just one of only 11 drag queens to model on Project Runway.
Yeah.
I have to repeat, you know.
Steve, there you
and
go.
So when I run for president, it can be like, Stephen LeMay, former Project Runway model.
I've seen.
Right. When I cure cancer, Stephen LeMay, former Project Runway model, cures cancer. You know, like anything I do.
Oh, that's what I always remember. Hey, it's better than a certain drag queen here in San Francisco who her biggest thing was like, how many times was she on Jerry Springer?
Oh my God.
Was that
Wait, there's like 3 of those.
Oh my God. It's so funny.
It's like Heglina like, or Johnny Cat or
oh
Princess
God.
Kennedy.
It's so funny because I know, like, I used to watch Jerry Springer
right.
and it's funny. I probably like had seen
right.
Heglina on Jerry Springer time and time again. Didn't even, and it's just funny because I'm like, who would have thought 15 years later
right.
I'd be choreographing for her?
Well, this is.
And that's how I ended up in this world, anyways. I was go-go dancing and Heglina.
right.
She really liked what she saw in you.
As she said, she plucked me
from obscurity.
Yeah, whatever.
Not really what happened. I just told her, I went up to her after a tranny shag. Back when it was called tranny shag.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't come after me.
Hateful words. I'll tell you.
It was the name of the show. Yes. It was called Tranny Shack now. Tranny Shack has been retired. Different times, folks. Yeah. But I went up to her afterwards. I was like, oh, I'm a dancer. I would love to choreograph for you sometime. And then she, like a few weeks later, was like, hey, I need some dancers. We show up. I didn't realize how unorganized these things were. I show up and she's like, great. It's Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson night. She's like, who knows choreography? And I'm like, okay, the show's like this week,
right?
So I throw something together, right. And then Barry Flash Mob was there. Yeah. I started working with them, and then I started. You know, Rory was there, and Rory got me.
Wait, so we're talking about you now?
Oh, wow!
I don't know how this
came to be. And then I did a show at Peaches Christ. And then Darcy was in that show,
Troublemaker.
And then Peaches was like, "Oh, Darcy's looking for a singer for Mr. Irresistible."
Oh, right.
And
oh my God, that's right.
Mr. Irresistible. And now that's why you and I are here, because we did shit and champagne. Back to you.
So wait, Mr. Irresistible was like the gay guy in the office.
The gay guy
right?
in the office. That's what I played.
Which. I was.
We know.
Okay.
Well, I know. You were up for
You stole my part. No. Well, I didn't even steal it. It was your part because you're a better singer and dancer than I ever could be.
Continue.
Oh. Well, wait, I can do a really good impersonation of you.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break.
Aneka is going to jump.
You're coming back.
Come back. Come back, little Sheba.
Aneka is going to join us for this next segment. We're going to jump in. It's the Maximum Fun Drive. She's going to be here. And we'll be back with more Stephen LeMay. Stephen's going to talk about his corner.
Oh, shit.
About how to be an effeminate older performer.
Oh, wee.
It'll be fun.
It's pledge break.
Welcome back, Aneka.
Thank you. Popping back in from my maternity leave, having a good time.
We're just so glad to have you back for the Max Fun Drive.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to be back because it is so important for us, for the Max Fun family, to get you guys to become members.
Yes.
Because it supports us. It supports our shows. We were able to upgrade our mics. We were able to get Woody, our fabulous editor, to come with your support. It is like literally creating a whole new us, whole new you. It's just gonna, it makes us feel awesome, and I'm sure it makes you guys feel awesome when you become members as well.
Absolutely. And helping to create like diverse storytelling and voices out there. That we started this because we felt like there was a mission of wanting to get voices out there talking about issues that were not being discussed and things like intersectionality and all the different things that we've unearthed on this podcast. It's, we're able to do that work because of you all. So you're a part of that hard-hitting quote-unquote research and journalism and laughs and giggles. That's all you.
Yes.
You all are helping us to do all of that.
Thank you. And when you become a new or upgrading member, you're actually helping us reach a goal. So Maximum Fun Network has a goal of 25,000 new and upgrading members. So once you are in there, you are just ticking that number down. So you're helping us reach our goal.
Yeah.
And I think we can do it. I really do.
I really do. We're there. Actually doing really, really well. It's week two. Mm-hmm. Y'all are just like kicking ass and let's just push it over the top. Kicking ass and taking names. That's how y'all do.
Yes.
So let's do it up. But don't they also, they get stuff too, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say that. You're reading my mind.
We got on the same page. We're not just take. We are give.
Yes, it's just the giving tree. Once you become a monthly member, you are not just going to just be giving it away. You're actually going to be getting some gifts. And we have pledge gifts that we're going to talk about in the next break that every single level. So no matter what you can contribute, you're going to get something. So don't worry. I mean, everybody has their own price level that is best for them. So, and it all contributes and it all helps us. So, you want to listen in for that so you'll be able to get those perks, which is awesome.
Yes.
So what we're asking you is to become a Maximum Fun monthly member. There are several levels starting at the $5 level and it is ongoing. And let me just tell you how you can do it.
How can you do it?
You want to go to MaximumFun.org/donate. Okay. And then you're going to select the membership level that is right for you. Remember, it starts at 5 and it increases from there. And you're going to provide your credit card number, some basic information. The important part is noticed by checking the Maximum Fun shows that you listen to. Minority Corner. Mm-hmm, exactly. And then you're a member. It's that easy.
Oh, that's so easy. Like, I thought I always have to go get my tax returns, get my mom's, like, social security number, go down to the bank. I ain't got to do any of that.
No, you don't got to do any of that. If you got a credit card and a computer, you are set.
Done and done. Oh, my gosh.
And guess what, James?
What?
You don't have to come back every month.
Oh, wow. See, again, I was like, oop, this is a whole entire exercise. Now I got to go do all this every month. Oh, okay. Hello, technology. Okay.
It will automatically process every month until either you decide to cancel your membership, your monthly membership, or your card expires.
Hot damn. That is fucking amazing. Yeah. And that also, like, I just want to, like, also thank, we both want to thank our current monthly members.
Yes.
Like, again, thank you so much. Over the past, like, you know, I think it's our third Maximum Fun Drive. You've been a part of it from the beginning. We also want to encourage you all, also, if you're already a member, to upgrade your membership. That way you can get some of these gifts that we're going to talk about in the next segment. Because we want you to, when we cross that finish line, we want you to be a part of that 25,000 new and upgrading members. We hit that finish line.
Amen to that. It is easy. It is on your mind. You're thinking about it right now. And guess what? This is pre-recorded. So you could pause us. You could just stop right now. And then come
back.
Don't
wait. Because I know how you kids get. I know how you corner kids get. You're like, I'll do it later. And with good intentions. Mm. But then the later becomes, I forgot to do it. So do it right now.
Yes. Your phone's a computer.
She got that mama knowledge.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Steven's corner, LeMay's corner. I do feel like we're missing out on an opportunity by sitting in your bed and not playing Truth or Dare.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Should we play a quick Truth? Should we play that later?
If there's time. Yes. Steven, Truth or Dare.
Oh, Truth. like, what else is there? Dare.
Fart on mic.
You're displaying it yourself.
Exactly.
I want you to tell me the truth about what it's like to be an effeminate older performer.
It's really difficult.
Okay,
Okay, we don't have that much time. TikTok, bitch. There's only 14 minutes left. Wasted a minute. I think it's hard. Like, I never even thought about what it would be like to be 50 when I was younger. I was just...
And you guys can't see him, but he doesn't look 50.
No.
I'm sure you were like, who's this 12-year-old boy in a dress on the show?
Totally. Oh my God. And the last... When I was in Bitch Slap and I...
Another Darcy Joel and Jennifer.
I was Portia and I played a 19-year-old on stage.
Yeah.
Right.
You can do that.
Or 18. I just turned legal. It's like, I can do anything. Anything a 50-year-old gay man can do is play an 18-year-old girl.
Easily.
Snap, done. I remember being younger and always thinking, like, oh, in the year 2000, I'm going to be 32. And that was the big thing, is like, when it's 2000, like, I'm going to be 30. Oh, it's going to be so old. And one of my goals, like, I remember, because when I was young, like, Rolling Stone magazine was, like, big.
Yeah.
And it's like, by the year 2000, I'm going to be on Rolling Stone magazine.
Yeah.
Didn't know how. I didn't know as a musician, but I kind of maybe secretly thought of as an actor.
Yeah.
But totally came into
and
all...
And you've done stuff at ACT, right?
The Berkeley Rep.
Oh, the Berkeley Rep.
Yes, let's
I
get
knew
it.
It was something
let's
fancy
get it right.
In the Bay. Okay.
That is when I really thought I made it. Yeah. Like, I was like, I'm legit.
Yeah.
You know? But I guess I never thought of what it would be like to be older, because when I was younger, I just thought, like, oh my God, 50 so old, I'll probably be dead, you know? And seriously, but now times are different and 50 is nothing.
It's
like,
nothing
it's
at
nothing.
All.
I mean, I still don't have very long left, but it's not anything, you know?
But it's like, I feel like old is like, I mean, it's like 85, 89.
Right, exactly.
Going to the Jane Fonda my career.
Absolutely.
Where it's like, I'm not retiring until, like,
no.
You know, people keep pushing the envelope.
Right. And I think that's why, like, I'm coming to terms with, like, you know, being an aging performer. Mm-hmm. And for me, there's so many things that come into, especially when you turn 50, right? It's like a you know, first of all, like, I lost my business. I turned 50. You know, I mean, I had two really big things happen to me in 1 year that were very devastating.
And, like, one of it was a retrofit, which had been running here.
Yeah, which was my business for 14 years. It was a 22-year-old business that I owned for 14 years. And we were forced out by a billion-dollar slum lord. Anyway.
San Francisco is part of, like, San Francisco is changing. Which, again, like, not only are, like, the black people disappearing, but also the businesses.
Right, of course.
Queer people. Yep. And
anything creative. Or, you know, or artistic. So I think that I didn't, you know, how do you sort of, like, the, you know, things about getting older and being an older performer in general is, like, how do you sort of reconcile this love of performing and acting that you came to late in life, came to at a time that sort of, like, you know, pre-existed before the instant celebrity, instant fame of Instagram and Facebook and YouTube, all of that stuff, to then having to reconcile with just being a, you know, a performer that also needs to pay your bills and do things and exist, right? Have a life. And, you know, I mean, performers are crazy people that, like, you do it for the love of it, and very rarely does someone, like, hit it big, right? Mm-hmm. And what
it's
does
like,
that?
It's like when Kerry Washington talks about, like, it's like winning the lottery.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, not many people win the lottery, mm-hmm. you know? and so.
But you got to put those tickets in too.
Exactly. And so, and then, of course, like, now that we've seen times have changed, like, being an aging performer and now also seeing that the, you know, younger people just being able to come in and sort of, you know, have a career on television,
right.
And they've only been performing for 6 months, mm-hmm. you know, and I've been performing for 20 years, sure. you know, and so, and now these performers are now the performers that producers and directors will go to because mm-hmm. they have a name established with them right. and they have a following. So now I'm not just an aging performer, but I'm an aging performer that doesn't have a following, mm-hmm. you know? And so, you know,
and they kind of have a career based on the work that you and other folks have, like,
right.
have laid down the road
right.
to creating this world
right.
and creating this experimentation of
right.
what performance is
right.
and what drag is or female illusionary
right.
work
and
is.
So, right. And so on top of it all, too, is that, like, I've also learned that I used to, you know, through just me, like, I was a total late bloomer, like, sexually, whatever. I was kind of a nerd, you know, and, like, real bookish and weird, but, like, sexually, like, I liked girls, I dated girls, you know, was fascinated with boobs and making out, you know,
yeah,
it's great fun, still am. Still am! Give me some boobs and a good set
Give
of lips.
Right.
Totally. And so I didn't even understand this concept of, like, what gay was, right?
Sure.
Until I graduated from, like, of course, like, in college, you know, you have your, like, oh, I'm drunk and I'm making out with a guy at a party, whatever. But also, that's still, all my experiences were pre-internet, mm-hmm. right? So there were no ways to find your
right.
people.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, coming from a very, you know, suburban, like, you know, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, where this wasn't in the lexicon of, like, you know, there wasn't, like, a gay presence. I had no idea. Until I moved to San Francisco, I was like, oh my God, gay is a thing. There's a gay neighborhood. Like,
right.
it's gay, 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 gay,
yeah.
you know? And so, and then, okay, so then, like, accepting that I was gay, then also accepting that, like, oh, I'm also, now that I'm gay, I'm, my behavior is effeminate. Whereas when I wasn't identified as gay, I was just nerdy and weird. But now it's, like, translate to being, like, effeminate. And mm-hmm. and so I had, you know, I had some trouble with the gay community here,
sure.
you know, that, like, you know, they weren't very accepting of that. And
even so, I feel like, especially in San Francisco, there's very small niches, I
right.
guess. Like, it's like you have to be one thing or the other.
Of course.
Like, you've got to be, like,
in a way,
really butch with the beard.
Yes.
Or
you, and you
really,
still
really
do.
Feminine.
You,
yeah.
Right. And so for me, it was, and, you know.
Or white and Asian.
Right. Exactly. Right. Together. White and
they,
Asian together.
Yeah. Not, right. I just mean, like, what I've noticed specifically here in
right.
San Francisco, like, when I go, I don't necessarily feel that attractive when I'm here in San Francisco. When I'm in, like, Miami,
I can see why. No, I'm just kidding.
Fuck no. Who's that if you're sober?
Oh, my God. Please, you walk around in your underwear all the time when you lived here. You're like, oh, Steven, do you have a towel? No.
But, like, when I go to Miami, like, I feel like hot shit.
Of course.
They just love more of a diverse,
yes.
like, they love my chocolatey
well,
brown
of
skin.
Of course. Who wouldn't?
San Francisco.
Well, of course. But, like, I also know for me, it's like although I do sleep with Caucasian men, mm-hmm. they are definitely not my my first choice.
Right, yeah, right. Totally.
They're like my okay. Dad's need daddy needs something tonight.
It's been a long week.
Exactly. Shut up, don't talk to me. So what happened is too is that I remember like being a kid, like doing some little plays in school and loving acting and taking an acting class in college. But to be honest, like never felt possibly like encouraged to do more of that, mm-hmm. right? I'm trying to use good words because if my mother listens to this, she'd be like, you said I didn't support you. And it's like, oh God, like she more steered the ship, okay? So coming to performing late also was like via drag.
Yeah.
And so when I started doing drag, a lot of people were like, oh, you look amazing.
Yeah.
And I had no idea.
Oh my God, my brother
loves me,
thought that you were a woman.
I think it happens quite a bit.
Steven looks really good.
Can you link to my Instagram too?
We'll link all that sort of stuff. That's why I really admire like you, the people that you and even like Darcy Drollinger
right.
and Matthew Martin.
Right.
Like, what I really love, because
are you gonna say Matthew looks like a woman? No.
You and Darcy,
right? Me.
Especially Stephen. But what I really appreciate
mostly
you,
me. Is that from Stephen. The Book of Mormon? Is that what
I
it is?
I think so. But Stephen, what I appreciate the three of you, because I remember when I was doing drag
right.
for a hot second.
Right.
I was like, do I need a drag name? And you guys were like, none of us have drag names.
Right.
I just kind of appreciate right. that I yeah. can be a female illusionist.
Right. And so that's what. So what happened is like. And this is something interesting that was a weird thing that happened that I never saw coming, right? Was this whole thing about gender. Had no inclination that this would even possibly be something that would come into my life. That I explored through like meeting other drag queens and then having them be like, you know, you should dress up and have fun with us. And then when I did, I was just like, oh, but I don't feel like a drag queen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And my drag was always very much with like vintage clothing and stuff. So for me, like exploring drag was exploring gender. And so like I've always sort of copped to is that like I am definitely more aligned with being a crossdresser or
mm-hmm.
crossdresser slash transvestite.
Mm-hmm.
I think transvestite is the older term, but like crossdresser is still an old term. But I think it's still so like I enjoy the act of looking feminine, being feminine and possibly enjoy sex while feminine,
yeah.
you know. And so I never felt like a drag queen. But I am. But
you mean having sex while dressed like a lady?
Of course.
I'm just making sure our listeners
oh, yes.
are all on the same page.
Well, I'm sorry, not while dressed as a lady, while being
a
lady,
like full
okay.
on, and again,
all right.
looking fabulous. You're not just like some dude in a wig.
No, and
which
so
that's fine too if you're just a dude in a wig.
Right, exactly. That's perfectly fine. I can sell you a wig. Like, no. So the thing is, so for me, that was a whole mind trip when I was just like to see yourself. In the mirror and just look at yourself and be like, I can't believe that's me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so there were a lot of times then, like when I was getting better at it, that people would always think I was transitioning. Right. They'd be like, oh, how far along are you? Like, and I'm just like, I'm not, this
yeah.
is just me. And so it was great because I met a lot of people and I, you know, but also I had issues with dating because sort of the gay male population doesn't want a girlfriend for a boyfriend, right?
Yeah.
They're very hyper masculine. And so I would have trouble meeting, you know, gay men who understood that it was just a part of me. It wasn't all of me,
right.
you know?
That's the thing that you like to do. And for you, it wasn't
right.
like you ever felt like, I don't know, like, were you like, it just was
right.
like a character that you're playing or it's like an extension of
right.
yourself.
Right, exactly. And that like, and so, I mean, so.
And it's fun to dress up too.
Please. I think it's a very freeing thing to do.
Yeah.
So then basically, you know, sort of gay men threw me away. So I basically spent 15 years sleeping with straight men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. Straight air quotes.
Air
or
quotes.
Straight identified.
Straight identified.
Yes. Right, right.
Like, hey, everyone's a little queer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone, yes. And so then the understanding, too, about, like, now that our, like, you know, social mores and times have changed where there are a lot more, you know, transgendered people in the media and a lot more transgendered actors and actresses, and that it is, while still, of course, the people who are vocally against it are there as well. It's just that they were always there, but now they have a platform to be vocal about it with, like, the internet, right? But so I used to struggle with being, like, when I was, you know, younger and performing, like, oh, am I going to become a woman? Mm-hmm. Like, am I going to, like, or no, I, like, who do I see myself as an old 50-year-old? Like, yeah. When I'm 50, what do I see? Like, oh, and it's funny because I've had some great talks with people that, like, sometimes when I travel, I fall back into being more male presenting because mm-hmm. I feel safer.
Yeah.
Right. And so I always sort of thought that I'll just be an old man.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'll just feel safer. Right. God, what most people obviously, what your listeners probably don't realize is I have very long hair.
Very, very,
very long hair. And so that again is a huge turnoff to every gay man. Not every gay man. Like if you're a hippie and roll around the mud, they love you. But I take showers. Okay. I'm sorry. Like everyone's like, hang out with the radical fairies. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe not. Can I get my own hut with a shower? Right? You know, and deodorant. I mean, I'll use the crystal, but anyway, you know, so I didn't even get that, like, right? And I mean, that's because the world has changed. Like, I kept thinking I would have to choose one, and my default was just being a man because it would just be easier being an old man. Like, when I would hit 50 or 60, I would cut my hair short and just let it be gray and then, like, turn into a daddy, you know, what, like, just to be, sure, just to feel like I had
the next evolution of
the next evolution of, right, who I was. Also, mostly probably just to feel safe as I was getting older, mm-hmm. you know, but now that things have changed and we have so many different role models in the queer community that are sort of androgynous people who are don't fit the gender binary or don't want to fit the gender binary, right? And that they just want to be a fluid person, like, you know, gender fluid. Like, now I understand at this age being like, oh, that's what I feel like I am, yeah. you know, especially when I'm performing more. And if I'm doing a show for like 6 to 8 weeks and I'm just shaving 3 days a week, like there's, you know, I look like, it's funny, I look like an alien, like with my little tiny eyebrows and my long hair. Like, there's no way, even as a 50-year-old gay man, like walking down the street, people are like, what's that? You know, and I'm like, in San Francisco of all places. Yeah. I'm like, do I really weird you out? Like, right. You know,
well,
just because I have.
It's changing. It's different.
It is changing. You know, I mean, they'll look at you, but then they'll slip you their number. Okay, call me, girl.
Call me later.
So it's just been interesting to arrive at this age, which I didn't even think about. And then to also be, to sort of just accept that I'm effeminate and flamboyant mm-hmm. and like, and it's funny because it's interesting to, like, some people are like, oh my God, you're so not effeminate, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, no, like, you just know me,
right?
So I don't appear effeminate to you because you know me and you know this is my personality,
right?
But like, when I meet other people, they're like, oh, girl, she's a lady, yes, you know. So and so now just to be here, right, and to be, you know, this age and being a performer that is questioning, like, oh, my relevance as a performer. But also the wonderful thing about being this age is that, like, you have the I've arrived where I have the confidence. And so a part of me, like you said, is like, you know, it's just like knowing that you belong there, like being mm-hmm. 50 is amazing because I'm like, no, I modeled on Project Runway. Yeah. Who the fuck are you?
Yeah,
like,
what are you doing?
It's a little thing, but it's like, you know, I've been in two movies now. Yeah. I was on Berkeley Rep, right? There's a part of me that still is like that high school kid, like trying to find my way and like trying to feel like I have, like, you know, oh, can I walk down the street wearing this? Cause it looks weird and my hair's in a bun. Why do I care? Mm-hmm. You know, but it's just like, I'm excited to navigate, like, becoming an older queer person because I think now for us, our options are all there. But how do you then, like, just being confident in your acting and performing skills? Like, you know, I guess there's a list of older actors that made it big after 50.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So. I mean, I look at Viola Davis. She is one letter away from being an EGOT.
Right.
And that happened in her 40s.
Right.
You know, and like the last, like,
so it's too late for
years.
Me. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Are you saying I'm no Viola Davis?
But for me, I'm still in the running.
Right. Oh, but bitch, 30s. Please. But, you know, 30s is tired.
I'll bring you to
where was your Disney
show? Golden Globes or
oh,
something.
Oh, yay. Please do. You know? Okay. Yeah. Totally.
So do you, last thing I just want to ask you, and then we got to get out of your corner.
Hello.
Right? Been here for a long time, old timer.
Did my corner make any sense?
It does. Okay. I think so. Did it have They'll a tweet point? At us if we okay, want.
Totally.
But just like, do you think ageism, is that a thing? And to get more political with it, like, do you think it matters in terms, like, a lot of people are like, oh, Joe Biden's like too old. Like, what's this ageism thing that's happening? It's always been there.
It's always been there, right? But it's like, I don't know, ageism within, you know, the gay community is one thing, you know? I mean, there is something to be said about experience and everything, right? But
even
the
history, too. Right. One thing I feel like we forget, like, not we, I don't know, I feel like I'm not the cutoff for millennials who understand history and have a respect for it, but I feel like a few years below me that they just don't. Because I remember, I lived through, like, you know, the tail end of, like, the AIDS epidemic. Like, I remember that stuff.
Absolutely. And I feel that because now, sometimes, your importance or your relevance or your perceived intelligence nowadays is possibly directly related to how many followers or listeners you have, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, so, someone younger who has all these followers is definitely going to get a lot farther or more noticed than I am, even though I could potentially be 10 times more talented, you know?
Yeah.
Likewise with, like, anything, like, fucking the idiot president, quote me.
Yeah.
He was a reality television person, right? And he's, like, it's just, you know, there's something to be said for experience. I don't know. I mean, politics is like a whole can of worms. I mean, that's, I mean, we can talk about that in someone else's corner. Well,
how many more corners do we have?
I don't know.
Just me. Oh, special guest. Special guest.
Wait, what's an eight-sided thing? What, an octagon?
An octagon, right? Oh, the show's an octagon. Right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Stephen, for your corner.
Sure
sharing
thing.
Your insights. Ooh. And we're going to take a little quick pledge break with Aneke. She's got more to join with us.
Pledge drive. You can do it if you want. Pledge drive. You can do it right now.
Love it.
So now that I've got you, my lovely lady, here, I want to talk to you a little bit more about the wonderful gifts.
I
had a baby shower.
Yes, I did.
We want to shower our listeners with gifts.
Okay.
A pledge drive shower, if you will.
That sounds a little gross, but I'm going along with it. I'm going along.
Thank you. Just saying the yes. I appreciate it.
Yes,
I heard
and.
It. When it came out, I heard it. Yep, I heard it too. But anyways, we're going to shower you with gifts, okay?
Well, so what's the first gift?
Okay, well, we have this goal, and this is to help us, is a thank you for helping us to reach our 25,000 new and upgrading members.
Yeah.
So remember, if you're already a member, to get any of these gifts, you're going to have to upgrade, like Beyonce has you do, upgrade your membership. So at the $5 monthly membership, what I love so much about the pledge drive is that we know that we all have different budgets and that there's a budget and a comfortable membership for anybody at any different level.
Yes.
So everybody can get involved. So the $5 monthly membership, which is less than your Netflix, less than your Hulu, less than any of that stuff.
So true.
$5, you're going to get over 100 hours of bonus episodes that are only available to monthly members.
Don't we have a bonus episode coming out?
We have a bonus episode, and bonus episodes are the best. Those of you who have participated before, you know it's the hottest interviews, the hottest content.
Oh, yeah.
It is the hottest stuff, so you don't want to miss out on any of this stuff, of this bonus content.
Right. Last time we reviewed Black Panther, so you don't want to miss out on what we got going on.
Exactly. Our Black Panther review was fire. It was Wakandalicious. We also reviewed Jungle Fever.
That was good. Fun.
And this year we're doing Kidnapped, and you do not want to miss our review of Halle Berry's Kidnapped. You're not going to want to miss it. It is gold, if I do say so myself.
What's the next level?
So at the $10 a month membership, you're going to get, you know, every year, those of you who've been here before, you know, those of you who don't, this is new for you, where you're going to get a pen. And it's a pen it's an enamel pen designed by Megan Lincott. She's cranking it out every year. This is another amazing one. You're not going to want to miss that.
It's beautiful.
It's
I love
it. Brand new design. And it says, because the kids got to learn.
It's true. They do.
a little theme here at the Minority Corner Hut here. And at any level that you donate, at any level that you become a member at, you're also going to get everything else. So if you're nice. At a $10 level, you get the bonus content plus the pin.
Yes.
But some of you are like, you know what? This year's been good. I got a little extra kick in my step.
Yes.
And I want to, you know, I was already at the $10. I want to kick it up to the 20 monthly membership. And what you're going to do is you're going to get a beautiful 18x24-inch 550 piece maximum fun puzzle.
Ooh, not stimulate 500 your pieces. Brain.
Not 300 pieces, 550. So that's, you know, it's going to be challenging.
Yes.
It's going to be challenging. And it's designed by the wonderful Jeffrey Tice, specifically for maximum fun members. So it's a great activity to do as you're listening to this or your bonus content, wearing your pen.
Yes.
Like, just add it all up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of you are maybe already at the $20 level or coming in hot.
Yes.
And you're like, this is my first year. I want, what else can I do? And what else can I get? Because I get it. I'm not mad. You want the gifts.
You want the gifts. I mean, it's like an outfit every month, what the next level is, basically.
Exactly. And so you want to come in at the $35 a month membership. So you're going to get everything I already named, but you're also going to get a glass coffee mug engraved with the Maximum Fun Rocket logo. Like, glass mugs are the shit.
So classy. You know how classy it is to come out with a glass mug, put that on your desk? Come on now.
Yeah, you always can see what it is that you're drinking. There's no mystery. You get to just see exactly what it is. And it's relaxing. And glass, it's actually healthy for you, too.
And good for the environment.
It'll keep it cold, and it'll keep you classy.
Yes. Okay,
now, some
next?
Of you are extra ballin', and we've got three other levels. We've got a $50 level, a $100 level, and a $200 level.
Okay.
And you can find out more about those at the, you go on MaximumFun.org/donate. You can find out more information about those. But I will say,
yes,
at the $200 level, you do get free registration for the Maximum Fun Con.
And that was fun. I went.
Yes.
I would love to go again. So,
it's
a good time.
Maximum Fun Con 2020, you're going to get some of your favorite hosts and entertainers that are going to be there, and you're going to get to hang out with your other Maximum Fun-ites. Is that what we call it? Maximum Fun-ites?
Yes, you get to hang out with everybody. Famous comedians, too. Hobnobbing, rubbing elbows, having a good time.
Rub those elbows. It's like going to summer camp, but it's more fun because you're an adult, and you get to just have more fun and more freedom.
I love it.
So
it's
so simple. I know if you heard about all those hot, hot items, you're like, oh, shit. Give him my phone. Give him my computer. Get me on this.
How do I do this, James? How do I become a member?
I love your energy. I love your enthusiasm. It's so easy. You just go to MaximumFun.org/donate. You're going to provide your credit card and some basic information, including, most importantly, mark the shows that you listen to, like
Minority Corner.
And then boom, that's it. You're done. You're a member. It's done. You don't have to think about anything else. Like, it just will renew automatically unless your card expires. So make sure to go in there, correct the information. Maybe your card expired last year and you got kicked off of your membership. Re-up, get back on it. Or if you decide to cancel, you can easily do it from there as well. And that's it.
I'm going to go do it right now. I think all of you guys should do it too.
Yep, and you're going to help us, again, like I said, become part of the 25,000 new and upgrading members. And I also just want to say thank you so much to those who are already members. We couldn't do without
you.
And we're so excited for the new ones to get on board and those who are upgrading it this year. Thank you so much.
Seriously.
We are back. And why do you look so surprised and shocked?
I was just gonna try and say something spontaneous, and I was gonna come out with anything. I was gonna sing our theme song, but we don't have one.
Do we have a theme song?
I was gonna be all do 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 do.
We actually already have music, so you don't have to do any of that. You can just sit there and look pretty.
Well, again.
So I'm going to take us down back to the business.
Yes.
So this article is actually kind of old, so some things may have changed. I didn't have time to look and see if things changed. This article came out in 2018 in July. I'm not on trial here.
Yeah, sure. It was last
year. But it's important to know that these things could be up for grabs. So this is about... Oh, you have no idea what we're talking about.
No, I know. I'm all,
ooh. I'll give you these notes. So essentially, the Supreme Court could systemically dismantle what few rights that our community has been working to secure. And so this goes back to, again, why elections matter.
Yes.
For those of us who, not those of us, those of you, I'm going to call you out, who sat out this last election. And, you know, the Supreme Court could be, the other side is working to dismantle our civil rights. And if you don't fight for your civil rights, someone will take them away. So there's five cases that are possibly going to go up that could go up to the Supreme Court that are being fought in, I don't know, local courts. Right. I'm not a lawyer. Right. But like in the local courts. And essentially what happens is like those decisions could then, if they're looking to appeal, get pushed up to the Supreme Court. Yeah. So there's Pigeon versus Turner. Pigeon.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. This is a true story.
Yeah.
Pastor Jack Pigeon. All right. Let's go. And...
Pastor Jack Pigeon and accountant Larry Hicks sued then-Mayor Anise Parker over the provisions of benefits to same-sex city employees, arguing that taxpayers shouldn't have to pay for them. So this is a case that's going up in Houston. They're like, well, why do we have to pay for these things? We don't believe in same-sex marriage.
Right.
Why do we have to pay for it? So,
So isn't the separation of church and state sort of in, like... So that should be thrown out.
And well,
next. Look, I'm doing good. You're like, okay,
Judge LeMay.
Totally.
But yeah, it was. So Obergefell was the Supreme Court decision that gave us gay marriage.
Right.
Decided that the landmark. So in the Texas Supreme Court decided that this landmark case in 2015 did not address and resolve the issues of benefits for same-sex couples.
Gotcha.
And then in December 2017. The Supreme Court actually declined to hear the city of Houston's challenge on that case. So it's up in limbo, and this case could come back.
Right, which is terrible because the church shouldn't be involved in anyone's, I'm sorry, like things that have to do with benefits, that is something completely separate from religion.
Yep.
And so they shouldn't even have a say. And besides, religion is fiction.
Okay, well, everyone can kind of own opinion.
Sorry. In my opinion.
Okay. Well, I think religion, we're going on a different topic. But I think like all religion, like I think as whatever gets your heart to focus on love and the betterment of other people. And I think that's at the core of every spiritual practice and every religion.
Right.
And I just think that things have taken a turn for the worse. I do think that
isn't it at the core of every religion that there's one person who created it all?
Not necessarily at all religions.
Oh, that's true.
Not all religions have that.
But so okay, but what about
wrong.
I know. Okay.
I'm gone. Off topic.
Okay. Next case.
So there's Doe v. Trump.
Doe versus Trump.
Karnofsky versus Trump, Stockman versus Trump, and the other transgender troop ban cases. So this is involving.
This is number two.
This is the second.
And so these are all of them versus Trump. Yes, is number two.
This is all of them.
They win.
Essentially, thank you, Judge LeMay. Dun dun. You need your own court.
Gavel. Show. Clack clack.
Another character that you played in one of. We played so many.
Oh my God! I did play a judge.
Yeah,
that was
you
so
played a
funny.
Judge. It was so great. That's the one thing too about doing the movie. We're digressing, but doing the movie is so funny because in the play, we each would play four or five different characters. Now in the movie, we only get to play one character
because
it's the movie.
Yeah.
So, but this in these cases, so it's the administration was attempting to essentially implement a transgender troop ban.
Correct.
And it's been blocked by multiple federal courts. But if Trump keeps fighting this, the Supreme Court could eventually have to step in.
Correct.
And again, you just kind of look at. Who's on the bench now?
Of course.
I got to appoint two different
people. I can't believe
that.
And I just can't believe that Obama wasn't allowed to get a
pick. I know. And he should have. And he should have been able to fight.
Ugh, that but again, turtle like a, guy. What's his name?
Merrill Garland?
No. Oh, he's awful too.
Yeah.
No, Mitch McConnell.
Oh,
the turtle
guy. Right. I like Mitch McConnell. I'm like, he's just like one of the most evilest people in the world. I'm like, I don't even know what
Incredible Mr. Limpet.
What does he even really believe in?
Right.
I just don't even like.
And what's that other one? Lindsey Graham. Oh my God. Queen, you need to come out of the closet, girl.
And Lindsey Graham didn't stick up for, like, John McCain was his quote unquote best friend.
Right.
And Trump has been going his tirade against John McCain, and none of them have said anything. You all are fucking spineless as shit. Republican Party, take your fucking party back. You're not the Trump fucking party.
Totes.
So all
those versus Trump.
Yes. And so there's a wild card is that there's no court. There's no been no case directly involving transgender rights has ever made it to the Supreme Court. Ooh. So we have no there's no precedence for this. And also, mind you, that the military, the research shows that like it's unfounded what they're trying to say, like why transgender people shouldn't be. They're making this up. Right. There's no research that supports any of that.
Good. I hope they kick his ass.
Yes. So then there's Arlene Flowers.
Is this number three?
This is number three. Thank you for keeping me honest. Mm-hmm. Judge LeMay's in the house. Arlene's
docket number.
Arlene's Flowers, Inc. v. Washington.
The state?
Yes.
Not a person. Not Kerry Washington.
Scandal! Not
Kerry Washington at all. Or Isaiah Washington or Denzel Washington. It could have been all the Washingtons.
Oh, my God.
So the Washington Supreme Court, Carver Ford. So I don't remember this. The Masterpiece Cake Shop.
Oh, right. Is that the one that... They didn't want to make a gay cake.
Yes. And the
Supreme Bastards. Court, they went out of business, right?
And the Supreme Court went. Yeah, they did. But the Supreme Court issued its ruling and they were allowed to keep their religious freedom in that case. And so this was a slippery slope because it's like, ooh, are we now dismantling, you know, gay rights, gay marriage? And so, again, that's the case of the Colorado baker who denied a cake to a same-sex couple on religious grounds. And it was decided on narrow and unusual grounds without reaching... It was a very sort of slim margin,
right?
And the Supreme Court tried to say it was a very specific sort of case,
right?
But again, it kind of opens up the door for other situations.
So why is it coming back around?
Because this is a very similar Arlene's Flowers.
Oh, gotcha. So a similar situation. Gotcha. So
essentially,
gotcha.
Arlene's Flowers Inc. Don't buy their flowers there.
Right.
Don't if you're in Washington. Fuck Arlene.
Arlene, fuck you dumb bitch.
Okay. Whoa.
You said I could say anything on your show. And now it's like Arlene is probably someone's great great grandmother.
Second strike.
Oh my God. No strikes. This is not baseball.
I don't know.
Arlene's probably a lovely person with very wrongful beliefs.
Very lovely person. She's very misguided. I hope she is listening because this will help awake her up.
Arlene, gay people love flowers.
We don't call us, you know, wasn't there a gay derogatory term about us being flowery? Flower girl? Oh, no.
Okay. Keep going. Case four. Okay. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so there's that one. Right. And so we already know how the Trump administration feels about all this. As Sarah Huckabee Smoky Eyes Sanders said,
please don't give Smoky Eyes a bad name.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So essentially, like, it would, the idea is that it would include, so, because they're underneath religious free, they were given this thing underneath religious freedom.
Of course.
People ask, would this in turn be able to, like, deny, you know, if I don't want to bake, give flowers to a gay couple, could I? And she's like, that would include that.
But see, but here's the problem with saying something like religious freedom, right? Because say you're whatever, you're okay, Christian, Catholic, whatever. Okay, do you then uphold every tenet of your Bible? Mm-hmm. Then do you not sell cakes to people with tattoos? Mm-hmm. Do you not sell cake to a woman who's menstruating?
Or like someone who's eating shrimp?
Exactly. So it is absolutely not religious freedom. It is the shield that they hide behind because they don't accept the gay lifestyle. Because unless you're going to hold your religious book to every single last thing that it does, then you are a hypocrite.
Well, and also it's like, again, the teachings of actually Jesus is actually all about love. And Jesus came back and said, like, hey, all that other stuff is not necessarily the thing. Here's the new stuff. And they murdered him.
Jesus loved gay weddings.
He probably was gay himself. I did a show about
bisexual,
Corpus Christi.
At least.
Oh, he was so free-spirited.
The first queer.
He really was. I don't know if he was the first, but he
he
was the first, like, mainstream queen to really make it. Actually, not even that.
That's why the Romans were all mad, because he was better looking and probably was more well-hung.
Even some of those Egyptian pharaohs, like everybody, there's been
jealous.
Lots of queens who were queenier than thou.
Right.
So the next case.
Yes, 05.
Is this the fifth one?
What was four?
Is this the fourth one?
What was four? Because it was three. It was the V Trump.
Arlene's Flowers Inc.
Oh, it's four. No, we're in five now.
Oh, wow. That popped fast. Oh, I have a bonus six one.
Can we get to five?
EEOC V RG.
Extra virgin olive oil? Wait, EEOC?
EEOC. That's the employment place.
Okay.
Yeah. V R G and G R Harris Funeral Homes.
Oh.
Employment discrimination. discrimination. I was like, oh, they're not going to bury a gay. No, it was employment discrimination.
Okay.
So the United States Congress has actually not added categories of sexual orientation or gender identity to federal civil rights legislation. Right. Fewer than half.
Not yet.
Not yet. Yes. Again, this is the one part because this article is, again, a few months old.
Right.
But I do know this. I'm going to get to it. The Congress is looking to initiate something. But fewer than half of the states have added those terms to their own anti-discrimination laws.
And some try to keep rolling them back.
Yep. And so Democrats actually have introduced the Equality Act. And so that's a bill that would modify existing civil rights legislations to ban discrimination against LGBTQ people in employment, housing, public accommodations, jury service, education, federal programs, and credit.
Wait, can I get out of jury for being gay?
Currently, maybe in some states.
Why are you not fit to serve on this jury? Gay.
No. They need you. It's a
I know. But they always ask me to be a foreperson, and I'm like,
I was the jury foreman. It's so important for us to serve at jury duty. It's like if you want to
love it, but I was not allowed to be on jury once.
Okay.
I was dressed like Princess Leia, but that doesn't matter.
Okay. All right, Tina Fey. So LGBT advocates have had to argue that the ban on sex discrimination in Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 applies to LGBT people as well.
So was someone fired from the funeral home because they were gay?
I guess so.
Okay. What do you mean you guess so?
Yeah, I don't know.
Facts, James.
Okay, come on.
Okay, what's the bonus sixth one?
So, yeah. Oh, here's the story. So the case could come up in a number of cases that get appealed from the circuit. So it's in one of the lower circuits. And
like circuit parties?
Yes, there's a lot of just gay disco music. So this is the case of a transgender woman named Amy Stevens, who was fired from her Michigan funeral home job after coming out. And in March, the Sixth Circuit decided that she was fired because of her failure to conform to sex stereotypes in violation of Title VII. So essentially that she wasn't dressing towards the dress code.
Of course.
Was the idea.
Right.
Okay.
Well, she should win.
This is the fifth one. That was just number four. Doe v. Boyertown Area School District. Being a lawyer is hard.
Right. So, I just play one on television.
Just give me the lines. They're right in front of you. So the Supreme Court didn't hear any oral arguments in the Gavin Grimm case last year, excusing itself based on the fact that the Trump administration had just withdrawn Obama-era guidance protecting transgender students. So this is about the transgender bathrooms.
Right.
And so essentially, this is a very interesting one because litigation from both anti-transgender side and transgender right groups are rapidly bringing this up to a head. So essentially there's a case that someone's suing the fact that like transgender people were allowed to go into the bathroom.
Right.
And so everyone's just suing. So last year, an anonymous cisgender or non-transgender student sued the Boyertown Area School District in Pennsylvania over the transgender inclusive restroom policy. So there's someone suing because it did happen.
Right.
Boo. You get the boos of the week. And in May, a three-judge panel from the Third Circuit did not side with the school district. Oh, yeah. So they did not side with the person who sued. Right. You're really good at this. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
I'm smart.
So there's hope in that case that, you know, so far the courts have been siding with transgender people, which is really great.
Right.
Holding up the Constitution, which makes sense. Like your job is to hold up the Constitution. The Constitution is about freedom is the idea.
Exactly.
As long as you're not hurting and murdering other people.
I mean, Ally McBeal had bathrooms that were,
I love it. Open to all. You got to check.
That was years ago.
I loved Ally McBeal. Check and make sure no one's in the stall. They'd always gossip about someone and you'd hear flush. And they're like, oh my God.
Hello, 9 to 5. That's how those girls get caught. There's the woman sitting on top of the toilet taking notes on toilet paper.
All right. Here's your bonus one. I want to end on a good note.
So number
something
eight.
Good. This is number six.
It's probably six. No, it's seven
for
sure.
Six.
Okay.
So this is a good one. So this is happening in Michigan.
Because all the other ones have been terrible? Wow, James.
No, like, I mean, the other ones
this
are...
is important to our people and our community.
I mean, this is a good one in terms of that, like, it's a case that the courts have ruled in and it's good for us.
Oh.
The other ones have been like, ooh, the scary things might happen to us.
Okay.
This one's like a good thing's happening. Go courts.
Okay.
So faith-based
Oh my God. It's not even late. It is 2 a.m. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's 6 in the morning because I got to work out.
Oh, God.
I'm showing a lot of midriff in this movie.
Yeah, please. You show a lot of midriff on social media. Like, you probably show less in the movie than you do on your Instagram. Please, girl.
It's probably true.
It's probably true.
Faith-based agencies will no longer be able to cite religious objections in turning away couples or individuals under a new legal settlement in Michigan. So,
what's a faith-based industry?
Agency.
Oh, so churches can't turn away people if they're gay?
For adopting children.
Gotcha. Oh, faith. Well, agency isn't a church. An agency is adoption agency.
Or like, yeah, some of the adoption agencies might be like a branch of like the Catholic church or something.
Right.
So
they should just be happy someone is taking the child.
That's what I'm saying. And actually, I really wish that it wasn't as expensive to buy the children or whatever.
Buy? Oh my God.
It's so expensive to buy these
Right.
kids.
You should be able to give them away because people need homes.
I'm like, yeah, right. I understand. Like, you gotta like fund.
Here, you have a child and you... Oprah should give away a baby under every seat.
Come to Stephen's house for Wayworld children.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was here. Yeah. So the agreement was reached between the Democratic Attorney General and the ACLU back in, and they had sued the state back in 2017 on behalf of these two lesbians.
Right.
And Michigan, like most states, have a lot of like tricky contracts and all this crazy shit. So it's been a huge victory. Republicans are upset, but actually they did it to the wrong lesbian because she was a lawyer. So she was like, fuck this mess.
Right.
So
right.
This is really great. Kids are finding homes. So there is hope. I just think it's important for us to whine. This is a good reminder to get out there and vote because the courts are so important. And a lot of the courts, again, like Trump also gets to help appoint judges across the country, not just to the Supreme Court. And so these courts, it's really important.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Maybe gay couples that want to adopt, maybe it doesn't always have to be a baby. Maybe you should find gay kids that need homes too, foster parents and stuff.
That's
so,
very true.
Right? Like, why is what's this obsession with babies? Gotta have baby. Gotta have baby.
Well,
how about there's someone probably already out there? I'm not saying anything about anyone in particular.
Right.
But I'm saying that if a faith-based agency is saying that we don't want you to have our babies, then...
You can get involved with, because I volunteer at the LGBT Youth Homeless Shelter.
Right.
LGBT youth make up about 45% of the homeless youth population.
Right.
And yeah, I think even giving back to our own communities, you know? For me personally,
too many babies on this planet anyway.
Well, actually, and that's part of, to me, that's why I do want to have children or be able to, I want to be able to, help raise some children.
Totally.
Because I feel
chores around the house.
Well,
You didn't say no right away. You're all
get out of here.
Take out the garbage.
She's got to learn.
Make mama a cocktail in the morning.
That
coffee in a sidecar.
Well, there it is.
That was it? That was the corner.
The sixth of them.
Seven.
Case is dismissed. Okay. Court is adjourned.
Yay.
Hello, this is Minority Corner, James speaking at the Maximum Fun Drive.
Hello. Hi.
Oh, hi.
Is this Maximum Fun?
Oh, yep, that's what I just said, Maximum Fun. Here, is Maximum Fun. Hi.
My name is Bianca, and I'm an influencer, and I would like to influence my membership with Maximum Fun.
Oh, okay, Bianca. Thank you so much. Yeah. Bianca. I think you were at the Fire Fest, perhaps.
Why are you bringing that up right now?
Didn't mean to bring it back up.
You know, me and Ja Rule, we had a long fireside chat about this, and it's just really upsetting to me to remember the time in a burning FEMA tent. So,
God,
I'm just challenged.
So sorry to bring it.
I'm so sorry to bring it up, but you're wanting to get involved in the Maximum Fun Drive.
Yes. I really
Oh my
do.
God, you're going to help us reach our goal of 25,000 new and upgrading members. B, can I call you B or do you want to go
no,
by Bianca?
No, it's only Bianca and oh, it's sorry. Spelled Branding. B. Yonka. So I oh, really want okay. you to just pay attention to how it is. I mean, all of my members yes. that follow me on Instagram,
yes.
My 300 followers, they oh. all know that it's B. Yonka. So
oh.
how do I
yeah,
do this?
Sorry. Yeah, got it, B.Yonka. Well, I'm so glad that you're wanting to become a member because this is a great organization, legit. Ah. Unlike that Firefest, but we won't go there.
Gems.
Sorry, I keep bringing it up. I'm sorry.
Yums.
Oh, it's James.
Okay. You know what? Yes. Tell me about it, Yums.
Okay, so it's James, but B. Yonka.
Yums, James.
Okay. So there's so many different levels that you can get involved okay. at. I'm not sure if there's a $5 level, a $10 level, $20
you
level,
can go
$35.
A little bit higher.
Oh, okay.
I have a little we've bit got of money. You know, hashtag sponsored.
You are an influencer.
Let's
B,
do
I'm wondering 50. If we can maybe get you involved at the $200
no,
monthly.
Let's do 50.
Okay. Okay, 50. Fair enough.
Hashtag
okay, B,
ads.
I love it.
All this tummy tea isn't paying off for nothing, Joms.
Totally. I love it. Well, B, it's so dope because the monthly membership,
B
you're going to get
Yonka.
A... Oh, sorry. B, Yonka.
Thanks,
you're going to get... That's James.
James.
You're going to get a metal engraved Maximum Fun membership card.
Ooh,
personalized
I can put it next to my Discovery card. I just got it. Hashtag sponsored. Hey,
content. Oh. Wow, yeah. Well, B, because you're at $50,
Yonka.
I'm sorry, B, Yonka, you're going to get not only that, mm-hmm. but also at the $35, you're going to get the thing at the $35 level, which is the glass coffee mug engraved with the Maximum Fun Rocket logo.
I love engraving
great for your Insta.
On glass.
Oh, I thought so. That seems good. Seems very B, Yonka.
It's true, it's my brand.
Well, I don't know how much you love, and these are great because you'll get to take Instagram photos with all of these different things. You're also going to get at the $20 monthly membership. Mm-hmm. You're also going to get the beautiful 18x24-inch 550 Maximum Fun puzzle. Mm-hmm. So I know you love, yeah. Do you like puzzles?
I like posing with puzzles.
Oh, perfect. Maybe someone can put it together. You can be like, I made this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, do what I can. I'll put the box on my bookshelf.
Oh, well, you're also going to get the Drive exclusive enamel pin designed by Megan Lynn Cott that says, because the kids got to learn.
They do got to learn, and I'm going to put it on my millennial pink jumpsuit that I just bought.
Oh, perfect, because the pin is pink. This will go right with it.
Perfect. It. Thank you. What else am I getting? Because I know I'm getting more stuff. I like stuff.
You are Bianca. You're all. You
I'm
know. You all.
You know. I'm just gonna post about it.
Yeah, we're gonna give you even more stuff. You're gonna get over 100 hours of exclusive Maximum Fun bonus content that's
Snap.
Only available to members like you.
Ooh, like Bianca, me.
Yeah, like okay. Bianca.
Like
so,
does this show have bonus content?
Oh, yeah. We've got an episode. I don't know if you like Halle Berry, but did you see her movie Kidnapped?
She's cute. I think she's
yeah,
cute.
Well,
she's cute for, like, you know, being over 23, but whatever.
Okay. Well, I don't want to be ageist, Bianca.
Whatever age is a number, and a number
okay.
is an age.
Oh, that's very profound.
And wise.
You are. I wasn't laughing at you. I just was giggling. So let me tell you how... Let me tell you how you could do this, Bianca.
Tell me.
All you have to do is get your credit card
okay.
and head over to Maximum
Fun. Hashtag
yeah.
paid content.
Whatever card you fancy,
okay.
You go to MaximumFun.org/donate,
okay.
and then you're going to select the membership that's right for you. You wanted the $50 one,
yes.
and you're going to get all that, those amazing gifts coming your way. And you just put in your basic credit card information. I'm pretty sure, I know you're not basic, but the information is.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Put that on a pillow.
Okay, maybe we could open up a pillow embroidery business together. But
I work solo. What else do I do?
Oh. Okay, sorry. So I didn't mean to overstep.
Hey,
that we're vibing.
You know, we're
okay,
friends.
Yeah.
We're friends.
Okay. And then you just put your credit card information and you don't have to worry about it, Bianca.
Thank you.
Every month, the information is going to renew. So you don't have to do anything unless your card expires
okay.
or you decide to cancel it,
oh,
which I know you're
you
not.
Know, I would never do, because I love this show and I want to provide for this show. It's so much fun. You know, I'm already feeling enriched. I'm feeling so good by being a monthly member right now. It's like feeding my soul like a crystal.
Oh, wow. That was actually really profound, Amethyst. Bianca. You should... Oh, well, there you go. And make sure to click that you're listening to Minority Corner when you go and sign up for that information. And voila, you then help us make our 25,000 new and upgrading members. You're one of them.
Yes,
you're like one of the many.
It's me. Thanks, James. I'm going
to
go do it.
Thanks, Bianca. And thank you to all of you other listeners who are also going to be inspired, like Bianca, to come and become a member.
You guys are cute.
Well, that's the show.
It's a new theme song for every corner.
We're all over the place this week.
This is why I don't sing.
We didn't even get to the actual things we were supposed to talk about. Michael Avenatti.
Oh my God, right. Although he's totally sexy, he was just, right? He's sexy. Kind of sexy.
But he also turned out, so Michael Avenatti always trying to be like, oh, I'm the champion of the people. Right. But it turns out all these crazy scandals are popping out about him.
I mean, like, okay. And that's the thing is, right?
He was Stormy Daniels' lawyer and he was going against the, after the Trump administration. Right. He said, I'm just an ally for women.
Right.
And then there were some weird things that came up that he was like a female, like he had abused some
woman.
He was
a female illusionist?
He was a female illusionist as well.
That's
he was
funny.
Such an ally.
No. Well, but here's
but
the thing.
Recently what
I
came
mean,
out,
yes.
it came out that...
What?
Weren't you going to fill in the blank? So recently came out that Michael Avenatti... he's got a big press conference about like, ooh, Nike has this huge scandal that's coming out.
Right.
And I'm going to reveal everything.
Right.
And then it turned out that he was trying to extort like $22 million from Nike. And then it also turns out that like he was holding on to settlements from his clients and wasn't giving them their like full settlements and because he was paying off his debts. And so it just turns out that like, and he was like running, he was going to maybe run for president and just sort of sad that like, but I do think, like, I think he's being brought down because he went up against Nike, and they're like, "Well, here's all the dirt out on you."
Right. Absolutely. I agree. I agree to all of that. Like, no one is perfect. I mean, really close, but like, no one else is perfect.
You're teetering.
I'm teetering
so
on the
close.
Edge, right? I'm teetering
almost
on perfect,
there.
Almost not. Right. That everyone has probably something questionable that they've done. And so, like, if you go up against big corporations, it's going to take them nothing to find out the dirt on you.
Yeah.
He could be a champion for, like, people, but also it doesn't mean he's a, you know, he's.
Well, I
great
think,
person.
Like, you better have some shit together. Like, for, like, I think.
Right.
If
you're going to go up against Donald Trump and Nike, you better have no skeletons in your closet.
It's a lot.
But then again, it's like, but who cares? Because because in today's society, if he, you know, is put on trial for extortion or whatever and he's found out he's guilty, he'll just write a book and it'll be fine and he'll serve, like, 5 years in prison and it'll, like.
Fine.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Also, like, he's in that rich sort of circuit.
Right. There'll be no consequences for his actions. Well, there will be, but nothing that will be life-threatening for him.
Well, on that note, Stephen, it's been so great to have you here.
Okay.
I'm gonna let you stop offending the world.
How
Judge,
dare you.
Judge LeMay, I relieve you. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, no.
How can they stay in touch with you?
Okay. So, I guess, my Instagram is Shay LeMay. So, it's Chezlemay. My last name is really LeMay. Some people want to spell it like the fabric, but then it's not like the fabric because then what happens is in print, if you spell it like the fabric and you leave off the accent, that's just lame, right? My tagline used to be, without the accent, it's just lame. And so it's French, Shay LeMay. It's not Chez, it's not cheese, it's Shay LeMay. That's my Instagram. And then this summer I think we're doing it for 7 or 8 weeks. I return as Charlotte in the stage parody of Sex and the City at the Oasis. So I'm there as well.
Yeah.
I also do interior design and home staging and renovation. I do everything. So
Renaissance woman.
My business website is retrofityourworld.com. I'm out there.
Yeah. We're going to put all these links into the show notes.
Totally.
Stephen, it's been so great having you. I've been wanting you
on the
show
for so... Oh, my God. And so this is only like your second podcast, right? It's amazing.
No, get out of here.
That's my house. You get out of here.
Okay, I am getting out of this bed. Truth or dare?
Truth or dare
me to leave.
Wait, truth. Was this just not the best experience you've ever had?
We're out of time.
I hate you.
Thank you for listening to Minority Corner, because together
we're the minority. Oh, wait, we're the minority. Oh my god, I can't even say. You have to. Do we need to say that again, or is that it?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.